The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 14th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Just me in the studio. Christian's still out feeling under the weather, hoping to get him back by Monday. And we've got a lot to get to on the show as we are keeping up in the game in Nashville as Auburn men's basketball is leading Ole Miss right now, under 3 minutes to play. They have a 10-point lead, or had a 10-point lead, thanks to an and-one by Denver Jones and a goaltending call. Ole Miss on the other end stepping up to shoot a couple of free throws. They go 2-for-2. So as of right now, live as you are listening to this program, Auburn leads 57-49, counting down with under 3 minutes to play. We're going to talk about this game today, plus the other games that happened last night and what has been an incredible champ week across college basketball with more games coming up today. We'll take a look at the latest bracketology, where Auburn is before or after this game, as Auburn has a bad turnover and leads to a run-out dunk for Ole Miss. They're back within six with 2.5 to play. We're also going to have Lindsey Crosby call in and join us in hour number two. Talk a little baseball with him as you got some spring training things going on for the Atlanta Braves. Plus, Auburn baseball opens up SEC conference play with Vanderbilt this weekend, starting tonight at Plainsman Park. So Lindsey Crosby is going to call in about 3:30. We'll get him on the air to talk some baseball things as well. Until that point, though, it's a free-for-all Friday, and that means you could call in and be a part of the show at any time today. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. I'm sure a lot of you want to wait to see what the result of this game is, as Ole Miss had a big-time three. Instead, it leads to a rebound knocked out of bounds. No, they're going to say Auburn saves it. A six-point lead turns into an eight-point lead thanks to a Chad Baker-Mazzara and one dunk in transition. Auburn trying to put this game away with a minute and a half to play in the quarterfinal game against Ole Miss. So you could call in 334-321-1390, or you could shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. You can get your thoughts in there, or again, give us a call, whatever you'd like to do. But this has been a really interesting game. I'm not going to say it's the most entertaining game I've ever seen, just because of the lack of offensive production, right? This has been a low-scoring, grinded-out, rock fight is the term that people are using this season, it feels like. And so it's definitely been one of those games in Nashville to kick things off. Auburn, after a converted and one opportunity by Chad Baker, a 9-point lead counting down from a minute and a half. If you're Auburn, you got to be smart right here. You got to be smart. A near turnover from Ole Miss leads to a shooting foul caused by Jani Broome. We'll put the big man for Ole Miss at the free throw line. That is going to be Malik Dia, who steps up to the line. And so just to give you an idea on some of the scoring totals today, right? Jani Broome has another incredible game. He backs up what he did against Alabama and now his first game in postseason play this season. 21 points, 14 rebounds so far for Jani Broome. You've also got 13 from Denver Jones, who hit two big threes to open up the game. He was the only Tiger to score in the first 7 minutes of the ball game. Was Denver Jones. He has continued to pour it in today. He's got a couple of rebounds, couple of assists as well. You've got 9 points from Miles Kelly, 7 from Chad Baker, and some all over the place. But it's also been a day as they just went to a break, so we got a couple of minutes to break this down. You had Dylan Cardwell, who dealt with foul trouble early in this game. He picked up a I'll say a questionable third foul here in this second half. Chad Baker's dealt with foul trouble. He's been quiet for most of the game. Does have 5 assists, though. You got to highlight that if you're looking at this from the Auburn perspective, which we tend to do, right? Chad Baker with 5 assists and 7 points, even though he's got 4 fouls. And that's been good, right? That's been needed for this Auburn squad. But we're not highlighting many of the offensive numbers because we need to highlight the defensive things that Auburn has done so far today. You've got 6 steals, 3 blocks, right, and forcing an Ole Miss team that has one of the best turnover margins in the country. You have forced 10 turnovers against that Rebels team. Auburn has 14 of their own, and Ole Miss is outscoring Auburn by 10 in points off turnovers, 16-6. And so some uncharacteristic things for the Tigers on offense, right, in terms of the half-court sets, which we are going to get to in just a little bit with Tahat Pettiford running a lot of the offense today and things like that. But points in the paint are even, 24 apiece right now. Auburn, we talked about what some of the things they needed to do coming into this game, right? We talked about defensive pressure, defensive effort, getting back on defense. I think for the most part, Auburn has done a good job. Auburn has played really good half-court defense. I have not been overly impressed by the transition defense. I think Ole Miss has beaten Auburn down the floor several times in this game, in the first half and early in the second half. We've done better about that here in the last few minutes. But the big one that Christian and I talked about coming into this game was rebounding, right? Auburn had to find its identity or rediscover its identity rebounding the basketball. That needed to be one of the big focuses today against an Ole Miss team that isn't great at rebounding, and you've been able to find it again. You're dominating them. You're up by 10 in the rebounding category, 37-27, with 10 of those for Auburn being offensive rebounds. And so overall, you feel like the Tigers have done what they needed to do, especially on the defensive end of the floor. It's been really hard to come by points for Ole Miss. They hit some shots early, have not hit many since. Both of these teams are not shooting very well. Ole Miss currently shooting 37% from the floor. Auburn shooting 45. Ole Miss just 18% from behind the arc after hitting a couple early ones there. So Auburn's done what they needed to do defensively. The question is, right, you're up by 8 with a minute 19 to play. Can Auburn close this thing out? In a game we said Auburn felt like they needed. They felt like they had to get this one just to feel good about themselves in a game that some would say didn't matter, right? Some would say, you know, they've even talked about it on the broadcast today. We heard it from Joe Lenardi yesterday on the show about, does Auburn need this game to be the number one overall seed? Most people say no. Didn't matter what happened in this game. You were going to win, or you were going to be the number one overall seed. But Auburn hasn't played that way today. They've come in and tried to win this game against what is a really, really good Ole Miss squad. 1:19 to play. Auburn leads by 7, 60-53. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time today. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Dak.
What's up, Dak? How are you, man?
Good, buddy. How's everything going today?
It's going. It's going to be much better in about a minute or so if Auburn can pull this thing out.
I know. I was worried about it. You can tell we've lost our mojo. I was concerned about that. I really wish if we could turn back the clock that we would have probably rested against Texas A&M. And because you see this every year with other teams, when you win your conference championship too early and you peak too early, you can't keep that rate going. You can't keep that same momentum week after week after week. And I thought if maybe we gave up one, that I feel like our confidence against Alabama would still be booming, would still have that mojo. And we just haven't gotten it back since we got beat by Texas A&M.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because you bring up the fact that Auburn won it possibly too early. They clinched it too early, which is why so many people have said that loss to Texas A&M was predictable, right? But Auburn's energy against Alabama, I thought, was fine. Today has been iffy, I think, at times. I think it's been clear that Ole Miss has wanted it more for the most part, but Auburn still has a chance to win. And for those who may not be watching or listening, Auburn let Dia hit both free throws. Chad Baker turned it over, and Padua laid it in. So Auburn now leads by 5 with under a minute to play, and yeah, Ole Miss still has chances. But I agree with you that Ole Miss seems like the hungrier team today.
Right, and you know, this game, I know it. I don't care who you're playing. It's hard to beat somebody three times. I get it.
Sure.
But we dominated them both games, and they should not be hanging with us this close at a neutral court. If it was at their place, I could halfway see it. But when on a neutral court and you have thrashed them twice, you know, I just think it's not going to be pretty the rest of the weekend is what I am concerned about. But we need a reset button, and it may be after the SEC tournament before we can reset it, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I feel like, too, you know, we talk a lot with this sort of a conversation. We talk a lot about the human mind and how it works and how you think it should work versus how it actually works. And Auburn has said the right thing so far this week about we're playing to win out. We're treating this as a win or go home. But in the back of your mind, Dak, and you know this, doing what you do,
yeah,
kids and young adults and even coaches at times, you know in the back of your head, okay, we can afford to lose this. This is an Ole Miss team that's a 5
right
seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, this is no pushover, but
right,
you're saying Auburn, since the way they've done it this year, should be up by more. I get it, and they're up by 3 with 30 seconds to play in the basketball.
They should. And this is why the old saying, a lot of times the best team don't always win it. There is no doubt in my mind, I feel like we are the best team in the country, but it's who's playing their best at tournament time.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
and
right.
And we've got to get back to that point. I mean, just think about it. Even the year we went to the Final Four, you know, we almost got beat by New Mexico.
Yep.
Right?
Very,
or New Mexico State,
yep,
one of them.
Very first game.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And then it's like somebody flipped a switch and we started playing our best ball. You know, and you don't know what team each year is going to be that team that does that. And even though we have been the dominant team, and I feel like we are the best team in the country, that don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
It's the team that's playing the best. And, you know, we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we have a better – I hope we win the SEC tournament, but we got to flip that switch. You know?
No doubt. And look, Auburn just hit a huge shot. Jani Broome, they dumped it down to him. He went to the signature spin and left-hand floater and got it to go. So Auburn leads by 5 with 11 seconds to play. Timeout called. And so you're absolutely right, Dak. It's March is about who's playing the best at that time. And that's look, nobody's arguing that Auburn is not the best team when they're playing their best. They're better by a mile above anybody else. But
right,
that's why the NCAA tournament is so hard to predict, and that's why it's so hard to win. That's the
right
beauty and the ugliness at the same time of college basketball.
That's right. And, you know, right now Tennessee is set up pretty nice.
I agree with that.
And I think they could make a run, but just because they don't have to be good offensively to win a game. And they get, what, a team that's played already 2 games and went into double overtime yesterday. I look for them to handle Texas, you know, fairly easy, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Texas playing good, though. Texas has played their way into the NCAA tournament with that win they had over A&M. I mean,
absolutely,
They're hot, but they're also tired, you would think. And I think for a team like Tennessee, one that we've talked about this week, who could benefit some of the most from winning the SEC tournament, they have to be feeling good. In those types of games, it's about that team who's playing their first game. Like Auburn was today, how quickly can they get going? And if Tennessee can get going quickly, they're going to feel pretty good. And Dak, as we're talking to you right now, Ole Miss misses a shot. Auburn grabs the board, and the game goes final. Auburn beats Ole Miss 62-57 in the SEC tournament quarterfinal. They'll be playing on Saturday afternoon.
That's awesome. Well, you know, the other thing you got to look at, too, is the emotional part of Texas and Texas A&M. That was their what we call Iron Bowl, right? And so they won that. I just don't see them coming down off that. I feel like Tennessee will thrash Texas. And then, you know, it'll be a good game between us and Tennessee.
Yeah.
I really believe it.
But, looking forward to it.
We got to flip that switch, man.
That's
all right, guys.
Thanks for the call, Dak. Always great to hear from you, my man. 334-321-1390. I said it to him, and I'll say it again. Auburn beats Ole Miss in the SEC tournament quarterfinal 62-57. It was a hard-fought win, but the Tigers get it done. We'll break it all down, talk more about it. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. Your instant reactions to the Tigers advancing to the SEC tournament semifinals. Give me a call. 334-321-1390. We're back to talk about it after this on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Oh, how sweet it is, right, as Auburn basketball beats Ole Miss in the SEC tournament 62-57, just went final. Bruce Pearl, I got the TV muted. He's screaming on the SEC network desk right now. He is going after it in a good way, in a positive way, and he's sitting next to what should be the National Player of the Year, Jahni Broom, as they give him the basketball. Auburn's up by 30 seconds counting down in the basketball game. They dump it down to 4 and white, and he gets to that signature low block, spin around, left-hand floater off the glass, and got it to go. Jahni Broom finishes an incredible day as Auburn beats Ole Miss for the third time this season by 5, 62-57. They move on to the SEC tournament semifinals. You and me today, give me a call. Your raw instant reactions of Auburn beating Ole Miss. You can give me a call, 334-321-1390. Shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. I want to hear what you have to say. Are you impressed by what Auburn did? Are you feeling more comfortable now that Auburn gets their first win in over a week, right? Back-to-back losses. This is their first win since they beat Kentucky almost 2 weeks ago now, right? Where nearly 2 weeks have gone by since your last win. So are you more comfortable and feeling better now that Auburn got the win that they, quote, needed to feel better about themselves? 334-321-1390. 62-57 is the final score. Running through some of the numbers, now that the game has gone final, Jahni Broom ends with 23 points, 15 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, played 35 minutes in this game. He had 23 and 15, including the dagger there at the end, and Ole Miss was not able to make a comeback 62-57. Jahni again, 23 and 15. Denver Jones had a great day, did he not? 13 points for him, couple of rebounds, couple of assists, and only one turnover for your starting point guard today. That's big time stuff. Plus, we know what he does on defense as well. Sean Padula has struggled for Ole Miss, and a lot of their guards did as well. Morrell had just two for Ole Miss, and so give a lot of love to those guys. Miles Kelly had 9, just 1-for-6 from downtown for Miles Kelly, but that's okay, man. He had a great day, I think, and he's such a good rebounder too. He's such a good rebounding guard is Miles Kelly, who had 3 boards today, 2 assists as well, in 35 minutes played for Miles Kelly as well. That's truly incredible. 5 points from Tahad, slow day for him. 7 for Chad Baker, who we mentioned earlier, dealt with foul trouble, but had 6 assists, including the one down to Jahni on the not the game winner, but we'll call that a what, a game sealer, maybe? And I'm sure most of you have seen that shot by this point. And incredible, truly incredible, as Auburn beats Ole Miss 62-57. And what I was just telling Dak in the previous segment, right, he was saying, and not disagreeing with him, but he was saying that he felt Auburn should be up by more. He felt Auburn should have won this game by more, that Auburn should have handled business the way that they have the first two times against Ole Miss. You beat them by 10 at their place, by a 30-piece when they were in Neville. And this being a neutral site, seems like there were a good amount of Auburn fans there, as they typically do and typically are in a game in Nashville, where you feel like you're much better than that Ole Miss team. I mean, they're the 8 seed in the SEC tournament, right? But I was telling him, according to Lenardi today, that's an Ole Miss team that was a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament coming in to today, which means they're good enough to make a run. How many times have we seen 5 seeds make a run to the Elite Eight or even the Final Four? A lot in the history of the NCAA tournament. And that team is a matchup problem for a ton of programs across the country, ones that they're going to see in the NCAA tournament. And today was not about style points per se, I don't think, for Auburn. Maybe from the outsider perspective, maybe from those in the tournament committee or those in the Big Ten or the ACC or whatever, right? Maybe they were looking to see if Auburn was legit. And I'm not going to say a 5-point win, 62-57 over Ole Miss is, oh, Auburn's back. Oh, there they are. There's the number one team we've seen all season. That's what we needed. I'm not saying that at all. But I think today was just about get in there and win. Get in there and do what you need to do. And I want to go back, and I know Christian's not here today, but I'm hoping he's at home listening and going to agree with what I'm about to say, is we highlighted two things: defensive pressure and rebounding the basketball. And guess what? Auburn did both of those things. Was it a good offensive day? No, not by any means. You shoot 45% from the floor, which isn't bad. You just didn't get a whole lot of shots up. You shoot 6 of 21 from deep. That's good for 28%. Not great, not terrible. But you hold Ole Miss to 57 points, 37.5% from the floor, 17% from behind the three-point line, and Auburn wins the rebounding battle by 10. Folks, Auburn's been losing the rebounding battle by 10 here recently. And they flipped that on its head against a really talented Ole Miss team. So, did Auburn drop 90? Nope, not even close. Is there something to be concerned about with Miles Kelly or Chad Baker or Tahai Pettifer not scoring a bunch of points today? I don't think so. Because we've seen them do it time and time again, and I trust them to get it going when they need to. But what I do have confidence in, and what does make me feel good, is Jani Broom solidifying Player of the Year once again today. What I do feel good about is Auburn showing up with some effort and some heart. As much as we wanted, man, maybe not. That's up to you to decide. But Auburn got it done. They tried to blow it. They tried to give it away, but they didn't. And a win is a win in March. I can't express that enough. I don't care if it's in the conference tournament. I don't care if it's in the NCAA tournament. I don't care if it's in the NIT not-in-tournament, right? I don't care. A win is a win in March. And Auburn did that today, doing the two things we wanted to see from them and ultimately getting a win. And what I saw in postgame just now on ESPN was the excitement and possibly a little feeling of relief for this Auburn team. They heard the noise. They felt the pressure. They knew what they had to do, and they did it. And now I think you have 100% solidified the number one overall seed. I think you have, without a doubt, proven you're the best team in college basketball, along with Jani Broom being the best player in college basketball. And now you go into the weekend, you await your opponent, and you play free. You have fun, and you see if you can win another championship, get another ring, and hang another banner. If you do, great. If not, who cares? You proved what you needed to yourself and you probably are feeling pretty good heading into the NCAA tournament, whether you play on Thursday or on Friday. All right, we're taking our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we're going to dive more into Auburn and Ole Miss as we go, but there were some insane games last night and some already today as well. We're talking more Champ Week when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Hang around.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Give me a call. Be a part of the show, man. I know you got thoughts and feelings after Auburn moves on to the SEC semifinals. They beat Ole Miss 62-57 in their first game of the SEC tournament, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Call in 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we kind of talk some of the other games that happened last night and early on today, I just saw a video, and I told you that Bruce Pearl was getting after it on the postgame show on ESPN at the desk there with Reese and Jay Williams and Seth Greenberg, and I had the TV muted for obvious reasons, and he was getting after it. I just didn't know what he was saying, and he talks about how he has bigs that can guard guards, and he's right. He's absolutely right about that. Guys like Dylan Cardwell, Jani Broom, and Chaney Johnson. You put them in the game, and heck, give Turtle Hudson his flowers today too, man. Played really, really good in the minutes that he was in and because of Dylan's foul trouble. And Bruce said, I have bigs that can guard guards. And then he talked about his guards, and I can't repeat what he said on TV, because he's not supposed to say what he said on TV. Bruce Pearl, God, I got to find a way to say this. He says that his guards aren't scared, is what I will leave it at. He says his guards aren't scared. He did not use that word. You are more than welcome to go and find what he actually said, but it's incredible. And that just feeds into what I was saying as we went to break. This game meant something to Auburn and Bruce Pearl and the staff and the guys. And while it was not their prettiest win of the season, it in fact was a win that not only did we feel that they needed, they felt that they needed. So Auburn gets it done 62-57. You can call in and give me your thoughts, 334-321-1390. Other games that have been going on in Champ Week, and I want to flash back to last night, because if you were able to stay up and watch, if you were able to have a couple of TVs on or multicast or multi-screen or whatever the heck they call it, right? If you were able to do that last night in college basketball, you saw incredible games. And this is why it's one of the best times of the year. This is why we love this week of college basketball, because you get all the biggest names going up against each other in instant classics. And we told you yesterday about BYU taking down Iowa State, right? We were watching some of the games in here yesterday during the show. We talked a lot about Duke and Cooper Flagg with his injury. There are some people saying he could come back for a championship game tomorrow in the ACC. I don't know why you would. I think that would be kind of idiotic for Duke, but hey, it is what it is. They play North Carolina coming up later today. But we, of course, saw Ole Miss beat Arkansas when we were on the show yesterday. One of those games was in Nashville for the SEC tournament. But some of those games last night, man, they were awesome. They were incredible. Arizona and Kansas was a good one. In the Big 12 quarterfinal, Arizona beats Kansas 88-77. Some of the other games that I was keeping up with last night, not just in the SEC, but across college basketball, you had Marquette have to escape Xavier, right? 89-87 in the Big East quarterfinal. Illinois beats Iowa 106-94. Iowa then fires their head coach today as after 15 years of being the head coach in Iowa, they let him go. So keep that in mind for some of these coaching searches, things that have been going on. That's a big move for them there in Iowa, but Illinois beats them. We talked about Oregon beating Indiana yesterday. How about Missouri? How about Missouri beating Mississippi State 85-73? A game where Missouri was up by 5 at the half. They extended that in the second half. Two teams that play similar but are built differently. And that's kind of what I said yesterday. And, you know, Mississippi State's kind of come back down to earth a little bit. I'm just going to say it like it is. Nobody wants to see that Missouri team in the NCAA tournament. I don't. I don't want to see that team. Are you kidding me? Because going into today, after their win yesterday, where did Joe Lunardi put the Missouri Tigers? He put them, as I try to find it here, on the fly, and maybe I can and maybe I can't. They were continuing to climb, was this Missouri squad. And again, I'm telling you, I don't want to see them. And maybe somebody does, and that's because they haven't watched Missouri enough this season, and they don't truly know what they're about. They're a 7 seed right now. In today's bracketology, see when the latest update on this was from Joe Lunardi. According to ESPN's website, it says he did this at 11 a.m. So this was as 11 a.m. earlier today. Missouri was a 7 seed playing West Virginia. Could match up with Michigan State. But that's in Auburn's portion of the bracket. Auburn's portion of the bracket has gotten significantly more difficult in the last 24 hours because of results like Missouri beating Mississippi State yesterday. Purdue pulls away from USC. Wisconsin beats Northwestern, yada, yada, yada. But it was the two games in the SEC that I'm going to get to in just a second. Texas Tech escapes Baylor 76-74. Clemson, in one of the ugliest games you'll see, they escape SMU 57-54. Can we shout out our friends in DePaul for just a second? Can we shout out our friends in the Big East who have just been bottom feeders in that conference for so long? And if you know me, I love that conference. I love the Big East. It's historic. It's entertaining. And they had a chance to get one of their best wins in a really, really long time when they were in a rock fight. As I said, that term has been thrown around recently, so we'll jump on that train. With Creighton, they were up by 15 at the half. They let Creighton come all the way back, force overtime, had chances to win it, couldn't do it. Then it goes to double overtime, and DePaul blew it. They blew it, 85-81. It was a really fun game. But DePaul just couldn't get it done. But it was the two games in the SEC tournament late yesterday afternoon and late, late last night there in Nashville. We'll go in sequential order. We'll start with one of the oldest rivalries in college athletics, Texas and Texas A&M. A&M was ranked 14th in the country going into this game. Texas was coming off their win against Vanderbilt, which moved them further up in the bubble. I thought with a win over Vanderbilt, they could have been in. They would have been stressing on Selection Sunday. They went ahead and doubled down and decided to solidify their spot in the NCAA tournament. 94-89, Texas takes down Texas A&M in double overtime at Bridgestone Arena. Trey Johnson drops 20. Wade Taylor had 29 for Texas A&M. Big time shot after big time shot. This was everything you wanted it to be between Texas and Texas A&M. And you had flashes from the past for those of you that were growing up watching Texas and Texas A&M when they were old school partners, right? And now this rivalry rekindled in the SEC. It's incredible. It really, really is. And this game was so much fun to watch. And now you look at bracketology. As of today, Texas is the last team in to the NCAA tournament, which gives the SEC 14 squads in the big dance. Think about that for just a second. 14 of the 16. We had people saying ain't no way they could even get 10 into the NCAA tournament. And now they're about to have 14. Texas is about to go up against Tennessee here in just moments in the next game. They're in Nashville. Always a interesting one that we've seen, right, with Rick Barnes going up against his old ride. And cool to see that once again happening here in just a little bit. But we thought this game was awesome, and it was, with Texas beating A&M 94-89. And as I said, if you stayed up for it, if you were able to sleep in a little bit this morning because of it, it was worth it. Because then you had Oklahoma and Kentucky. That was a Sooner squad that is still looking for some wins, right? They were looking for a way to get into the tournament, and they needed it against Georgia, and they got it on day one back on Wednesday, 81-75. Then they were feeling, all right, we're pretty good. We feel like we're into the tournament. But let's go ahead and beat this Kentucky team just to make sure. Kind of the Texas effect, if you will. And man, they had every chance to do it, didn't they? They had every single chance to win this game. And they were winning down the stretch. But for the second time this season, Otega Owe, the former Oklahoma Sooner, for the second time this season, hits a game winner, dang near buzzer beater, against the Sooners with a floater on the baseline. That was as pretty as they come. He rattles it home, and the Cats survive 85-84. Owe had 27 points, fierce for Oklahoma. We talked about him yesterday after his great performance in the game against Georgia. He had 28 points. In the game, did Fears for Oklahoma. He's incredible. Jeremiah Fears is an awesome talent to watch. We got to see him go up against Asa Newell against Georgia. We got to see him go up against Owe last night. And heck, Kobe Brea had 22. Kobe Brea for the Cats had 22 points on 4 of 7 shooting from downtown, 8 of 12 for the game. I've told you, I think Kobe Brea is one of the best shooters in the country when he's on. And Kentucky getting an emotional win, 85-84 last night on a game-winning shot from Owe. Maybe that's all they needed to go on a little bit of a run. So how awesome has college basketball been in the last 72 hours? Some of the best we've seen in conference championship week. And that feeds, or I guess it fed, us right into today, where you've got great games going on right now. Games that have just wrapped up. Of course, Auburn beating Ole Miss 62-57. You had Michigan State and Oregon going at it earlier today. The Spartans win 74-64. Memphis squeaked by Wichita State 83-80. And now you've got games like Tennessee and Texas that have just tipped off there in Nashville. You've got Wisconsin and UCLA right now. The Badgers all over the Bruins. And big-time games coming up throughout the rest of the afternoon and the evening. Marquette, St. John's, Illinois, Maryland, Duke, North Carolina, BYU, Houston, Missouri, and Florida, right? How about Purdue and Michigan? You've got Creighton and UConn, Kentucky and Alabama, Arizona, Texas Tech, Clemson and Louisville. Give me a break, man. Are you kidding me? There's not enough TVs to go around to watch all these games that are going to be happening in college basketball. If you can't tell, I'm excited, man. I love it. It's one of my favorite times of the year is Champ Week, because then it leads into the NCAA tournament. Awesome results going around, awesome games happening, and we're talking about those and a whole lot more here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Give me a call. You can be a part of it. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on Auburn beating Ole Miss, other games that you want to talk about as well, you can give me a call, shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. We take our final break here in hour number one, and we'll wrap it up on the other side.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. This is the Friday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, flying solo. Again, Christian Griffin out feeling under the weather, hoping to get him back by Monday. So it's you and me here on this Friday afternoon. And I know there's a lot of weather and things coming through. And so hopefully everybody is getting prepared for that, going to stay safe for that. That has caused some movement around some Auburn athletics events. I know everything tomorrow for Auburn. That's baseball, softball, tennis, I believe. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. They've moved everything up to start at 11 a.m. Everything for Auburn Athletics tomorrow starts at 11 a.m. due to the threat of bad weather tomorrow evening. And so that means, just in terms of a broadcast schedule for you, tomorrow, with Auburn basketball winning, they will play again tomorrow with a broadcast start time of 11:30, tip-off at noon against the winner of Tennessee and Texas, which has just started in Nashville. So the game starts at noon. You'll be able to hear that locally over on Wings 94.3. And here on ESPN, since baseball is playing, right, they'll get started tonight. You'll hear that game tonight on Wings. Their game tomorrow, the middle game against Vanderbilt, will be right here on ESPN 106.7 starting at 10:45 a.m. with Brad Law on the call. I'll be in the studio, so we'll have that for you. The game tomorrow for baseball is here on ESPN. And it's pretty simple from then on out. If Auburn basketball wins, they'll be on Wings on Sunday. Baseball will be here on Sunday. If Auburn basketball loses, then baseball will be over on Wings on its normal home. So that's kind of what's going on here with our stations in terms of the local affiliation with the Auburn Sports Network. And, man, I'm excited to see Auburn baseball this weekend in the SEC opener. You feel like we talked to Chris Gordy yesterday, and he was saying, you know, get the idea of a sweep out of your head this season in the SEC, which I feel like could be the narrative every season in the SEC, but especially this one. And if you're Auburn, man, obviously you're thinking series win, duh, right? But how big would this be to get this started in SEC play? You're at home. They're honoring Josh Donaldson tonight, which is really, really cool. We talked to Brad about that on Thursday when he joined us on the phone lines. Really neat to have that honor coming up tonight at Plainsman Park. You just feel like if you get a top 15 team at your place, you got to do something about it. You got to do something with it, right? And I think Butch Thompson and the guys feel that way. And you're going to see some really good baseball, not just at Plainsman Park, but across the SEC this weekend. And I cannot wait to see what Auburn does. And we're going to talk to Lindsey Crosby in hour number two. He's our baseball guru, right? We always love to have him on. And we're going to get him on the phone lines coming up in hour number two to talk some Auburn baseball, SEC baseball, and maybe even a little bit of Braves baseball as well. I had some injury news come up today for the Bravos. So he'll be joining us at about 3:30 on the phone lines coming up in hour number two. But just again, for programming updates and programming things, Auburn basketball will play tomorrow, 11:30 pregame, and game time starts at noon over on Wings 94.3. And then baseball tomorrow, the broadcast at 11 a.m. will be here on ESPN 106.7. And mentioned that Texas and Tennessee have just started. They're about 5 minutes in to their quarterfinal game. Tennessee, this is their first game, right? Their first game of the SEC tournament. They are going up against Texas, who is so far playing really good basketball. Beat Georgia in the opener, and then beat Vanderbilt in the opener, and then beat Texas A&M in double overtime. You already start to question what a team's energy level will be like playing their third game in 3 days, right? Three games in 3 days for the Texas Longhorns. But the fact that they played 5 minutes, right? They played 10 extra minutes total. You really question what they're going to be like. You question it early in the game and late in the game. That's where it always comes up, right? Those legs. How do they feel in this sort of a matchup, especially against a Tennessee team that plays so physical and such good defense? You just have I have a weird feeling that Tennessee may let them hang around, but then kind of pull away as this game goes on. And of course, winner here takes on Auburn tomorrow at noon there in the SEC semifinal. And so In terms of a matchup, right, which one did Auburn want, which one would Auburn want? Texas, easily. Other than Trey Johnson, I'm not scared. I'm not worried about Texas. That would then be their fourth game in 4 days? No, that's not going to happen. You're not going to you don't feel good about that team if you are in the entertainment business. But I think for Auburn at this point, after we've talked today, right? They did what they needed to do. They proved what they needed to prove. Why wouldn't you want to play Tennessee? It was a close game the first time. Why would you not want the challenge? Why would you not want to see, are we truly playing our best basketball? And the only way to figure that out is to play the best teams. And I think going through Tennessee tomorrow in a semifinal would do just that. All right, that's it for hour number one. Stick around. Hour number two coming up. We'll talk more Auburn and Ole Miss. We'll look around college basketball a little bit more. And Lindsey Crosby joins us talking Auburn and SEC baseball. You can call in, though. You got about 30 more minutes. 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 14th, 2025, as we get underway here in hour number two during the Friday edition of On the Line, the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch up with the podcast. We post that every single day for you, wherever you get your podcast. But I recommend the best spot to go, the easiest spot to go, is our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can check it out there. You can also listen to the show live there every single day. If you're sitting at the desk or wherever, right, you can listen to us at ESPNAU.com. That's where our podcast will be, and that will contain the things that you missed in hour number one, which was reacting live to Auburn beating Ole Miss in the SEC tournament, 62-57. The game was still going on as we were getting on the airwaves, but we were able to react live to it with an and-one Chad Baker-Mazzara dunk, with a Jani Broome lay-in, more of a turnaround floater, signature move for him to secure player of the year, all that type of stuff. So we were able to do that in hour number one, talk a little bit about what that means, also look around some of the other games that have been going on late yesterday and today in conference tournaments. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, go check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, going to talk more basketball, of course, talk a little bit more about Auburn beating Ole Miss, how it happened, why it happened, and what it means moving forward for Auburn's matchups in the SEC tournament, plus what their potential matchups could be in the NCAA tournament. Some bracketology updates from ESPN. And coming up at 3:30, we're going to talk to Lindsey Crosby, our man, about some Auburn baseball as the Tigers get ready to open up SEC play versus Vanderbilt tonight. They'll have that at Plainsman Park for Josh Donaldson. Donaldson Day, so we're going to talk to him at 3:30 about that, maybe dip into the Braves and MLB a little bit as well. But before we get into content, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of our show each and every day here on ESPN. Phone lines are open for the next 30 minutes. Give me a call. I know you got thoughts on Auburn beating Ole Miss. I know you got thoughts on Jahni Broome and his performance. And I know you got thoughts about the SEC tournament. So I want to hear you. Give me a call. 334-321-1390. 334-321-1390. Or you can text me in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Excited to talk more basketball about Auburn, about the SEC, and the country as a whole. And we get to the phone lines here to start hour number two. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, John in Auburn. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm good, John. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I have an Auburn basketball thought here.
Go for it.
So it seems to me like a lot of the other teams, like I thought Alabama when they played in Neville last week, I thought they ran some sets that I hadn't seen them run a lot of. And I don't know, I think you're really into the minutia. It seems like Auburn is running a lot of the same sets they've run basically all year. And I heard Denver post game like, well, you know, Ole Miss was able to guard us because they scouted us. They know all our sets for my third time around. You think Auburn's saving some sets that we haven't seen maybe all year? Or it just seems like the offense is a little more vanilla. And, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to show anything in the SEC quarters. But do you think we're holding something back for next week or a couple weeks from now?
You very well could be. I think for Auburn, it's pretty clear in terms of who they want to go to when they need a bucket. It's Jahni Broome. It is Miles Kelly. It's Chad Baker, even Tahan Pettiford, right? So in terms of who they go to, I don't think there's any secret there. But they very well could be holding some set plays, right? Maybe not in a whole identity. But, right, we talk about this in football, right, John, where, does Auburn have a trick up their sleeve in the Iron Bowl against Alabama? And Auburn has certainly done that in years past. And so they could be, I think. I mean, they ran a lot of the flex cut today and the high ball screens. And I do think the ball got stuck with Tahan Pettiford a couple of times today, as it tends to do when the freshman's in there. But sure, they could be saving a couple of things. And I think it would be more of, we have certain plays in our back pocket when we have a certain mismatch against a certain team or a certain player in a certain situation. That's where basketball is so different. Is okay, we got a baseline out of bounds against this particular guy because we know he's going to be matched up with Jahni, he's going to be undersized, and we feel that we can roll him a certain way and get him the basketball, right? That seems to be where basketball is won and lost at times. So yeah, I would say they probably do have some of that, John.
And the last point I'll make is the Lexington Regional, if I'm not mistaken, is Thursday and Saturday. So Auburn probably will play maybe Thursday afternoon, so a quick turnaround in Lexington, which it's not Spokane this time. But I think even though Auburn's only made one Sweet 16 under Pearl, I feel like that second game is such a disadvantage for the opponent and just their scout of Auburn. Because, I mean, if you're not in this conference and you have to scout for the baseline unders and all this, I mean, it's a lot in a 48-hour period. So I'm looking forward to it. And baseball's in Lexington next week as well. So it'll be an interesting weekend of all Auburn taking over Lexington. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate the call. Yeah, 334-321-1390. Get in on the show. Give your thoughts about Auburn beating Ole Miss. I had not made that connection that Auburn baseball was going to be in Lexington. I feel like I remember somebody saying something about it very briefly. I can't remember if that was here on the air or if that was off mic somewhere, but you're absolutely right, John. Auburn baseball is in Lexington next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, and I just double-checked you on the dates because I wasn't 100% sure. The Lexington Regional in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament, which if Auburn were to get the number one overall seed, that's where they would go. The dates are March 22nd, or I guess, well, it just says 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So I guess I was looking to see if those dates were 100% confirmed that it would be the Thursday, or I guess, yeah, the Thursday, Saturday, rather than the, and it is, yeah, it is, it absolutely is, because I'm looking at confirmation right now, just in comparison to the Cleveland, Ohio regional that's played the 21st and 23rd, which is the Friday, Sunday. So you're absolutely right, John. If Auburn does eventually get that number one overall seed coming up on Selection Sunday, they would play Thursday and Saturday. Have no idea what time that would be. I'm thinking back in memory of the NCAA tournament. You typically have a one seed play in that early slot, right? That I can't remember if they start at 11 or noon Central Time, but typically have a one seed play early and a one seed play late on both days. So the first round anyway. So we'll see. That's a really good point, though. Had not thought about that. If Auburn gets the Lexington Regional, they would play Thursday and Saturday. You got that squeeze with Auburn baseball being in Lexington next weekend, too. So if you're wearing orange and blue, man, you better make your way up to Lexington, Kentucky. What a fun trip that could be in an all-Auburn weekend there in Lexington. But he brings up an interesting point about Auburn trying to hold a few things back in terms of having something up their sleeve or trying to trick somebody or catch them sleeping or whatever. And I think the way that I described it is what I would say again is you are who you are in college basketball, especially because you're playing 5-on-5. You have played dozens and dozens of games at this point. And today was very fascinating because it was your third time playing somebody, which I was talking yesterday. It just doesn't happen very often in college basketball. You don't see the same team three times all that much. And it's really difficult to beat them for the third time. This was the slimmest margin of the year for Auburn. Beat Ole Miss by 5. Remember, beat them by 10 in Oxford and dropped a 30-piece on them inside Neville Arena. And so it's hard to do that. And you've had two games to scout with you playing them. And pretty much everything Auburn does is on film at this point. So all of these teams are going to have a pretty good idea on how to stop Auburn, or at least give yourself a chance to stop Auburn. And I think Ole Miss did pretty well today, holding an Auburn squad to 62 points. Right, this Auburn offense is the most efficient offense in the country, according to KenPom. So, Ole Miss has to feel good about their execution on the defensive end of the floor. But that's what makes Auburn so good. That's what makes Auburn so dangerous, is they can beat you in any way. Because while they're the most efficient offense in the country, and it didn't show today, they still shot 48% from the floor. They still got to the free throw line. They still knocked down 6 threes, but they're also one of the best defensive efficient teams in the country. I've said it all year. Auburn can win in any way, in any style, in any fashion. They can win in the 50s. They can win in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, or if it takes triple digits, I still trust Auburn to do it. And that's what makes this team so good. And you saw that on display today. And depending on who they play tomorrow, whether it be Texas or Tennessee, that game played right now in Nashville, it's 23-22 Tennessee over Texas with about 8 minutes to play in the first half. If you play Tennessee, it'll be another grind like you saw today. It'll be probably similar to what you saw inside of Neville Arena back, whenever that was, several weeks ago now. But I do think Auburn, in particular situations, will have things prepared that haven't been seen very often. And, man, there's so many possibilities of what that could be. I mean, was it coming out of the half today where they ran that backdoor, almost kind of a spin move cut for Janai on the alley-oop? That was coming out of the second half, I think, today? That's a great example. They don't run it often, but when they do, it works because they go in and make adjustments, and they have things ready to go. So, John, to answer your question in a long-winded way, yes, I do think they have things prepared. They have so many options. That's why teams have struggled to beat this team this year. Because, again, look at some of these numbers, or I guess listen to some of these numbers. Janai Broome with 23. Denver Jones with 13. He doesn't score 13 points very often, but he did today. Because he hit 2 threes to start the game, was 5 of 8 from the floor, had a couple of assists, and only turned it over one time. That's it. Those are the two guys you had in double digits. But if I told you before the game, hey, Auburn's only going to have two guys that score double-digit points today. Can you tell me who they are? Before the game started, most of you would have said Janai Broome. That's the obvious answer. But other than that, there's a flurry of guys. It could be Denver. It could be Chad, Tahad, Miles, right? It could be any Chaney. Any of those are legitimate options to have been the second double-digit scorer. And guess what? Miles Kelly had 9. Chad Baker had 7. And Tahad had 5. They were all a bucket or two away from getting to double digits. Teams aren't as deep as Auburn is. Teams are not as talented as Auburn is. And you can have the perfect scout. And defensively, I think Ole Miss pretty much did. They just couldn't stop Jani when it mattered. And they turned the ball over more today than they normally do. Only 10 times, but that's a lot more than they typically do. And that's why Auburn won. Because they're good offensively and they're efficient defensively. Auburn got stop after stop after stop. Ole Miss shot the ball pitifully today. 37% from the floor, 17% from behind the arc. You're not going to win any game doing that. 13 of 17 from the free throw line. Auburn was 10 of 15 at the free throw line. So thankfully that didn't come back to bite you. But in just an ugly game, Auburn did what they had to do. And to show how good this team is offensively, even in a performance where they only score 62 points, think about those shots down the stretch. Listen to this. To end the game, Auburn hit 6 of their final 8 shots down the stretch. 6 of their final 8 they made down the stretch in the game. Compared to Ole Miss, who went 2 for 10 down the stretch. That's the difference. That's the difference. You're talking about the number 1 overall seed versus a 5 seed, a really good 5 seed. In the NCAA tournament. But these are the reasons that Auburn can win a national championship. These are the reasons why Auburn can make a run in the NCAA tournament. Heck, these are the reasons why Auburn can win an SEC championship again. Because of things like that. When you need a bucket, you trust Auburn to get it. It was Chad Baker on an and-one dunk, and it was Jani Broome on the signature turnaround floater. We've seen it all year. And it came back to haunt Ole Miss today and benefit Auburn once again. Tigers win 62-57 over the Rebels in Nashville. They await the winner of Texas and Tennessee. Give me a call. Tell me your thoughts. Would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll take our first break here in hour number 2. Reminder, Lindsey Crosby joins us on the phone lines at 330 talking Auburn baseball. So if you want to get in and discuss any of that, if you have a question for Lindsey, you're more than welcome to text me something you want to know about baseball this weekend. Shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. I'm happy to ask him something if you've got it. We'll take our first break, come back, talk some more basketball here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
And we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Jacob Goins with you in the studio. Christian Griffin out sick today. Hoping again to get him back on Monday. And got a text in the On the Line text box while we were in break. That number is 334-784-1067 if you want to hit us up in there. Says, quote, "Ain't no way Auburn beats anyone good in Lexington if they play like they did today in the last few games." Said it was ugly. Says plus 13 today was the way to go for those of you in the entertainment only business. I get it. I do. I get where you're coming from, right? Saying that it's going to be tough for Auburn to win games in the NCAA tournament if they continue to play like they are. And, you know, it's funny because you look at the last couple of games for Auburn and they all have been a little bit different, right? You feel like the Texas A&M game was as we have described it, it was a predictable result. It was one where Auburn secured the SEC regular season title. They clearly celebrated, had to hop on the plane, didn't get to scout a whole lot. You can call it excuses, reasonings. It doesn't matter. Auburn clearly lost the game against Texas A&M, and A&M wanted it more. A&M fought harder. A&M had a game plan. They executed it on both ends of the floor, and Auburn just simply wasn't ready for the game. And you can't have that moving forward. That can be the only time that that happens. And I truly believe that Texas A&M game was the only one Auburn was not truly ready for. Win or lose this season. I think they were ready for the Duke game. They just couldn't pull it out on the road with some questionable play calls or some questionable officiating calls. The Florida game, Florida just played their best game of the season, I think, and got it done against Auburn and Neville. And even the game against Alabama at home, Auburn was ready for that game. And if Jani Broome hits the shot instead of Mark Sears, we don't even talk about that, right? And then the game today against Ole Miss, where Auburn, it wasn't a flat performance, but it wasn't their best. But you got the win. And I've said it earlier, I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again here. A win in March is crucial. You take it any way you can get it, right? There are no bad wins in March. But I'm with you in the conversation that Auburn can't play. It's not even sloppy either. That's what the last three games, because nobody's complaining about how Auburn played against Kentucky, right? Nobody, and not picking on this particular texture, just kind of responding to it here. Nobody is saying anything negative about how Auburn played in Lexington, even with Jani Broome not playing well. Nobody cares because you won, right? But the last three games against A&M, Alabama, and Ole Miss, where you're 1-2 in that stretch, and you get back in the win column today. I agree. You can't score 62 points in the tournament and expect to win very much. In the NCAA tournament, that is. You can't expect to do that. Not even against the 16 seed, I don't think. You don't crack 65 in your first round game, you may have a problem if you're Auburn, right? You don't crack 65 in the round of 32, which as of today, I doubt Joe Lenardi has updated this. Let's see if he has. No, he has not. So this was 11 a.m. this morning. Auburn would match up with, oh my goodness, either New Mexico, watch out, or Marquette as the 8 seed. Let me go ahead and tell you, for those of you who have not watched Marquette this season, you don't want that. You don't want to play Marquette. Because guess what? You score 65 points against, or we'll use today's number, 62 points against Marquette, you're done. And the greatest season you've ever had comes to an end in Lexington in the round of 32. You would then play, if you win, somebody like Oregon or Arizona. I'm good. I don't think you want to score 62 points against them because they average 80 to 85 when they're shooting the ball well. And then you play the likes of Texas A&M, Missouri, Michigan State, or UCLA. Not going to get it done. But that 62 points is a little misleading because Auburn still shot the ball well. I've said it. Auburn shot 45% from the floor today. 29% from three, not great. Free throw shooting, not impeccable. But you've got to find ways for other guys to knock down shots. Look, Ole Miss, I've said it, they shot terribly today. But give Auburn a ton of credit for that. So, to react to the text, if Auburn plays the way they did today defensively and they carry that into the tournament, it will keep them in games. Same way I described the football team this past year, right? Where the defense is going to keep you in every game, Auburn has that. This basketball team has that going for them. You absolutely have that going for you because look at the game against Alabama. Yes, they scored 93 points, but it took a game winner in overtime to do it. A game against Texas A&M. They scored 83. You just scored 72. Your defense in Lexington, you held that team to 78 points. Kentucky's hit triple digits this year, guys. And you held them to 78 in their own house. Your defense will keep you around. I trust this team in March to hit shots, to get buckets, to win basketball games. That's exactly what Auburn did today. And I trust them to do that whoever it is tomorrow and if they get to Sunday in the SEC tournament and then whatever the matchups are in the NCAA tournament. But you have to knock down shots at the end of the day. You're going to have to overcome mismatches. You're going to have to overcome officiating. You're going to have to overcome people coming after your guys. Because all that's going to happen. Because that's what makes March so different. That's what makes it so special. So I get where you're coming from. And sounds like there are still fans who are not overly satisfied with Auburn just yet. And maybe a win over Tennessee tomorrow would do that for you. I'm not sure. Let me know, 334-784-1067 in the text box. But I'm okay with how Auburn won today. Again, it wasn't pretty. It was downright ugly, actually. But sometimes you got to win a game like that to feel confident and feel good about yourself. And I think Auburn is going to be just fine and may just come out tomorrow with the hair on fire. We're going to talk a little baseball when we come back as Auburn opens up SEC play, plus maybe some intel on the Braves. As Lindsey Crosby joins us on the phone lines coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I am your man, Jacob Goins, and excited to have this guy back on the show. We normally have him in the studio. I promise we're going to get back to that with our baseball power hours. But here in a situation with Auburn basketball dominating the headlines, I did want to get some Auburn baseball talk in on the show today. And nobody better than our man, Lindsey Crosby, who still does the Braves Today podcast. We're going to talk some Braves in a second, but also is writing for The Barn. He joins us on the phone lines now. Lindsey, how are you, my man? It's been way too long.
Oh, it is great to be back on these airwaves. It's great to talk to you, Jacob. I'm hyped because this is the best time of year. Baseball is in full swing.
Yes.
No pun intended, but I'll take it.
That's exactly right. And look, I know you were watching and keeping up with the basketball, and while that is the big storyline with Auburn beating Ole Miss in the SEC tournament, SEC baseball gets underway today around the conference. And it's wild that non-con play has gone as quickly as it has, Lindsey. It truly is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, this is when you start the season, you're like, oh, gosh, we have to wait until mid-March to get conference play. And then mid-March gets here, and you're like, oh, my gosh, that went so fast. And Butch Thompson yesterday, I asked him about what he learned in the non-con schedule, and he's like, it felt like it went by in the blink of an eye. Same kind of situation. But Auburn's excited. They think that this is a chance to kind of take a reset and start really the second half of the season and just kind of go out and play their brand of ball. You don't have a ton of scouting you can do when so many of your opponents have played, you know, directional Tennessee and things like that.
Well, Auburn is 14-3 to wrap up their non-conference schedule as they begin with Vanderbilt tonight in SEC play. We'll talk about them coming up in just a little bit. But you asked Butch Thompson what he learned in non-conference play. I'm going to ask you, Lindsey, what you learned in non-conference play about this Auburn baseball team. From all facets of the game, what is it about Auburn that you learned through their 17 games of non-con play?
I think one of the big takeaways for me, and this was a surprise I didn't know was coming, was how quickly the pitching staff was able to gel over our expectations. The issue they've had really the last 2 years is they never had a guy you could build a weekend rotation around, right? You find one or two guys on a Friday, Saturday, a Friday, Sunday, whatever it might be, who can go out and give you five or six innings and keep you in the game every weekend. That gives you the ability to mix and match and find roles for everyone else. Auburn's absolutely done that this year. Sam Dutton, the transfer from LSU, has put up games of, you know, 9 strikeouts here and 8 strikeouts there. Freshman Christian Chatterton is now the Sunday guy. Same situation. He's really settled in the non-conference schedule. And so because of that, you're able to find ways for a bunch of other pitchers to contribute. Ryan Hetzler, Parker Carlson, lots of different guys have been able to come in and they can be given a limited role and be successful. They don't have to come out and be the man because nobody's doing their job. And I think that's the big thing that I was hopeful, but I was a little concerned it wouldn't quite happen this quickly, and it has.
And something that I've been able to pick up on and talk with some of the assistant coaches and Butch Thompson as we're having them on throughout the year here on ESPN during On the Line is the freshmen, right? And you mentioned some of them there in the pitching staff. But, Lindsay, just the freshmen as a whole, I mean, one of the best classes we've seen come into Auburn, and the fact that it is already putting on display on the field through 17 games is fascinating to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys, it's Chase Fralick, the catcher. He's going to be starting this weekend because of the injury to Ike Irish. Freshman Chris Rimber, who's played some second base. He's played some outfield. You look at Bub Terrell, the incredibly impressive outfielder. These three guys, in the first couple weeks of the year, have shown not only are they ready for college baseball, but you can't take them out of the lineup. You have to have those guys in the lineup in just about every single game. And because of that, because like I knew that one of them was going to be impressive and take an everyday role, but all three means that this is an incredibly deep lineup. You just weathered an injury to Eric Guevara. You didn't miss a beat. Now you've got an injury to Ike Irish, and hopefully you have enough depth with these three freshmen that you shouldn't need to miss a beat there either. And that's not a thing that I thought maybe would happen this quickly. I knew one of them would be an impact guy, but not all three of them.
Yeah, we saw the news and mentioned it late yesterday in the show about Ike Irish, who is out for, what is it, 10 days? Is that right, Lindsay? Do you have an update on him and kind of what that status is for Ike Irish?
Yeah, so Butch Thompson talked to us yesterday about this. He has been shut down for 10 days. There's a fracture in his scapula, the bottom of the shoulder blade, on the left side. Completely shut down for 10 days, which, you know, no baseball activities. He's going to miss this weekend. He's obviously going to, or probably going to miss next weekend as well. And then they're going to see if he's pain free and start getting him on a plan to get back. He could end up missing three SEC series. The saving grace here, though, I guess the only upside to this is now that Eric Guevara is back, you don't have to bench someone because you had 10 position players and 9 spots in your lineup. So you can cover. But Ike's going to be out for a couple weeks, and it's just really a tough look for the kid. He's a competitor. He tried to go on Tuesday when they were in Huntsville and just couldn't do it. There was too much pain.
Well, that's the status right now as Auburn is, again, wrapped up with non-conference play, Auburn baseball, that is, and they begin SEC play with a top 15 matchup in the Vanderbilt Commodores, who come to Plainsman Park starting tonight at 6 o'clock. We're talking with Lindsey Crosby here on ESPN 106.7. He's with the Barn. He also does the Braves Today podcast. We'll talk the Braves coming up in just a little bit. And as you look around the SEC, Lindsey, with the opening weekend upon us around the conference, who sticks out to you? What is it about this league, as it is every year, that makes it the best in college baseball?
I think to me, it's the depth of the pitching on Friday night. Like, tonight is the best night to be at home. Sometimes I regret being at the ballpark on Friday night because I miss all of the rest of these. But you get such great pitchers all across the conference, guys that are going to be first-round picks in July. And because of that, it's just so hard to face an SEC team if you don't have that caliber of players. So you have that. And then the offenses are obviously good. Some of the best hitters in the country are in the SEC. Jason Lavalette of Texas A&M is probably going to be a top 5 pick this summer. Ike was a discussion for a top 10 pick before the injury. We'll see what happens after that. Mm-hmm. But it's just the caliber of players. These teams are so deep. And you can't really just get past the top 2 or 3 guys. They go 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 deep, like in the instance of LSU, Tennessee, and I'd argue Auburn right there as well.
And so as we look at Vanderbilt this weekend, we know some of the game time changes. 6 o'clock tonight, as it was. Tomorrow's game has been moved up to 11 a.m. because of the impending weather Saturday night, and then the game on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And I do want to ask you, we had a chance to talk to Brad Law yesterday from the Auburn Sports Network about this, but Josh Donaldson Day tonight at Plainsman Park. That's a pretty cool thing that the Tigers are putting on, huh, for a former legend of Auburn baseball.
Yeah, the bringer of rain is coming in. There's rain in the forecast this weekend, so that makes sense. But if you're worried about the rain, you can come by and get one of those really cool umbrella hats they're passing out in honor of Josh. He'll be there first pitch and all of that. Program legend Butch actually coached him. This is one of the first times we've been able to get one of Butch's players back in season. He's normally in spring training. Josh has recently retired. Really excited to have him here. Really, supposedly he's going to come visit, obviously, the radio booth, the TV booth, and I think the press box as well, and chat with us for a few minutes. But just great to have some of the program legends back. He's one of the most accomplished Auburn alumni in Major League Baseball.
And so we look at Vanderbilt before we move on to talk a little Braves. Vanderbilt ranked 13th in the country in you know, particular standings. You know how there's about a million different standings out there for college baseball. But have you had a chance to scout or look into this Vanderbilt team at all in terms of what they bring in for tonight in game one and then for the series as a whole?
Yeah, so actually Brad Law and I did an episode of the Barn Baseball Show on Thursday all about Vanderbilt. You can go check that out. On paper, best resume of anybody in the SEC, right? There are three losses, UConn, USC, and a ranked Nebraska team, right? The pitching is very, very good. Matches up well with Auburn's strength of the offense. The running game for Vanderbilt has been a big part of their season, right? They don't hit for a ton of power, which is surprising because they're a small ballpark. But they steal a lot of bases. They wreak havoc on the base path. So that's where you're going to feel the absence of Ike Irish in this one. But the good news for Auburn is some of their strengths include, you know, defense. Vandy's whole thing, put the ball in play, stress the defense, make them defend you, make them make plays. Auburn does a good job, especially in the infield, of defense. This is really a strength-on-strength matchup this weekend. And these are the most fun because these are going to be three close games. There shouldn't be any blowouts. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you said it right there. We talk about that on our high school broadcast all the time, whether it's Christian over on Lee Scott or me with Auburn High, is put it in play and make them make plays. Because even at the highest of levels, Lindsay, baseball's a funny game, and it all it takes is one mistake for momentum to build, especially here in the SEC.
I mean, it just comes down to your fundamentals, and that's one of the reasons why Butch Thompson is so big on dominate the routine play. He wants you to do your job, make the plays you're supposed to make, because odds are, if you do that, you're going to win, and that's what Auburn has to do tonight. Derek Fabian at shortstop needs to have a good game. Same thing all weekend. Eric Snow at second base. Chase Freilich behind the plate. Those three guys are probably going to make or break Auburn's chances of keeping Vandy from running up the score this weekend.
Lindsey Crosby joining us here on ESPN 106.7 as Auburn baseball gets SEC play started with Vanderbilt tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday. But you also host the Braves Today podcast. You cover the Atlanta Braves, and we're so excited for the Major League Baseball season to get started. So give our listeners a little bit of an insight on what's been going on around Atlanta Braves and spring training. I know there was some bad news about Austin Riley today. Took a pitch off the hand. Is that right? What's going on with Atlanta?
So Austin was removed from today's game after the hit by pitch. X-rays, initial x-rays were negative. There is no fracture. They're not even worried enough about the injury where they're going to send him to Atlanta for a CT scan and to meet with the team doctor. He's day-to-day, probably won't be in the lineup for a couple days, but they said if it was the regular season, he probably could have been in the lineup tomorrow. He'll be a little sore, but the Braves thankfully avoided injury here. That's something they dealt with. Sean Murphy took a hit by pitch last Friday, or two Fridays ago, and he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to miss the start of the season. Jurickson Profar, the free agent outfielder for left field, he had an issue last week in diving for a ball and rolling up on his wrist. He should be fine for opening day. So they've mostly avoided serious injury here. And after the first month of the season, you'll have Spencer Strider back. He had elbow surgery last April. You'll have Ronald Acuna Jr. back. He tore his ACL in May. And you'll have Sean Murphy back. and it'll be the first time you've had your entire regular lineup back in the game since opening day of last year. So Braves are really excited about the potential for this team this year.
I mean, you just feel like if they could stay healthy, that's been their biggest issue over the past, really since the World Series win, right, Lindsay? I mean, they've just had some of those major injuries where they couldn't get out of their own way, and then you start looking around the league where you've got Yankees trying to spend a bunch of money, Dodgers have built a super team in Los Angeles. Like, what are the expectations for Atlanta if they stay healthy, which is always the question for every team in every sport, but if they stay relatively healthy, what are the expectations for the Atlanta Braves in 2025?
It's funny you ask, because there's the expectations that they have and what they'll say publicly. They learned a lesson last year. A couple different guys talked about the World Series or bust with the whole thing. Those guys didn't finish the year healthy. Spencer Strider, AJ Minter, things like that. So this year they're talking about, our goal is to stay healthy. Our goal is to be able to compete and just go out there and play Braves baseball. But talking to a lot of these guys, they fully expect the talent that they have coming back, the health of Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuña Jr., they fully believe this is a team capable of winning the World Series, winning the National League East, making a deep run, winning the World Series. To your point, they just have to get there healthy. And that's going to be in spring. It's looked to be a little tougher than they thought, but knock on wood so far, they've avoided losing anybody for a long period of time, so they should be okay.
And is it the obvious answer of the Dodgers, who are the biggest threat to win the World Series, other than somebody like the Braves, because of the super team they've put together there in LA?
It's really the Dodgers, and then after that, it's the Phillies and probably the Mets. This is a very National League slanted playoff picture this year. Probably four of the top five teams in baseball are all in the National League. So it's going to be a gauntlet just to get there. But the Dodgers are definitely number one, because they won it last year and then just did nothing but get better. They added Blake Snell. They get Ohtani back on the mound. They added Roky Sasaki. There's a lot of pent-up frustration across baseball at how much the Dodgers have done. But the Braves are confident that they can go toe-to-toe with L.A. and they can take them down if they have the opportunity.
That's funny. I didn't hear you say the Boston Red Sox in that list, Lindsay. Did you misspeak by chance?
It's funny. I actually just recently had to switch my pick in the American League East from the Yankees to the Red Sox.
Yes, you did.
I love the extra depth your Red Sox have because of those three top prospects, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony. They all homered in the spring breakout prospect game yesterday. You've got that. The pitching depth, there's some guys on the IL right now. But there's legitimately seven or eight starters that are going to be available at some point in time this year. Boston has the ability to make a deep run. It's all going to come down to health and some rebounds for guys like a Trevor Story, who got a short bit of time last year, and one of those prospects stepping into the lineup and having a big impact. We don't know who it'll be, but somebody's going to have to step up when an injury happens. And if they can step in and rake like we think they can, Boston can come out of the American League East as the champion and make a playoff push.
I love it. I love it. Just keep talking like that until we get to October, okay? That's all I need you to do for me, is talk highly of the Red Sox, because it's been bad for a while. But good news is the Braves sound like they're going to try and do something, and we hope that Auburn does a little something this weekend as well, as they host Vanderbilt there at Plainsman Park. He is Lindsay Crosby. He is our baseball guy. We bring him in when we need him, and he's always available. We appreciate him and his time. Plug it all. Tell the people where they can find you. My man, I hope we get you back in the studio real soon.
I hope so, too. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. The Braves coverage, BravesToday.com is the newsletter. Braves Today, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube is the podcast. The Auburn coverage, the Barn Auburn and the Barn Baseball Show. Me, Sonny DeShera, Brad Law, multiple times a week, breaking down Auburn's games, talking to players. We've had half a dozen players from this year's team already on, so go check that out wherever you get your podcast.
Awesome, my man. We appreciate you as always. Thank you so much. Enjoy covering the series, and stay safe with the weather this weekend, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jake.
That's Lindsay Crosby joining us here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Lindsey Crosby hopping on. Great friend of ours, great friend of mine, and great friend of the program. And he is normally our baseball power hour that we did on Tuesdays in the past. And going to try and get him on and get him back into that rotation. But appreciate him hopping on, talking some Auburn baseball as they host Vanderbilt this weekend, and Atlanta Braves baseball as well as they're going through spring training. And so that was part of what has been a great show today, reacting live to Auburn beating Ole Miss in the SEC tournament 62-57. We've broken that down. We've had callers. We've had texters. We've talked about other games that happened yesterday, last night, today, previewing games coming up tonight. Man, there's so much happening in the world of sports, and just blessed to be here and do this with you every single day. We are back on Monday. All right. Next week is a busy week with reactions to Selection Sunday, reactions to the SEC tournament, breaking down the brackets, a guest coming in Wednesday, a familiar voice and familiar name will be joining us on Wednesday, and then a big announcement for Thursday to kick off the tourney, and we'll leave it at that, okay? So we're going to be back on Monday, same time. Hopefully my man Christian Griffin's going to be in the studio with us getting over a sickness. Just an update from Nashville. 45-40 is Tennessee's lead over Texas with 18 and a half to play. Winner moves on to play Auburn tomorrow in the SEC semifinal. We'll talk about all that and more on Monday, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'm serious. Weather coming in. Stay safe, all right? We'll talk to you later.